Turning tonight in the Word of God to the book of the Psalms and the psalm that is numbered 55. And we'll commence to read at verse 1. Give ear to my prayer, O God, and hide not thyself from my supplication. Attend unto me and hear me. I mourn in my complaint and make a noise. Because of the voice of the enemy, because of the oppression of the wicked, for they cast iniquity upon me, and in wrath they hate me. My heart is sore pained within me, and the terrors of death are fallen upon me. Fearfulness and trembling are come upon me, and horror hath overwhelmed me. And I said, Oh, that I had wings like a dove, for then would I fly away and be at rest. Lo, then would I wander far off and remain in the wilderness, Selah. I would hasten my escape from the windy storm and tempest. Destroy, O Lord, and divide their tongues, for I have seen violence and strife in the city. Day and night they go about it upon the walls thereof. Mischief also and sorrow are in the midst of it. Wickedness is in the midst thereof. Deceit and guile depart not from her streets. For it was not an enemy that reproached me, then could I have borne it. Neither was it he that hated me, that did magnify himself against me. Then I would have hid myself from him. But it was thou, a man, mine equal, my guide, and mine acquaintance. We took sweet counsel together, and walked unto the house of God in company. Let death seize upon them. Let them go down quick into hell, for wickedness is in their dwellings and among them. As for me, I will call upon God, and the Lord shall save me. Evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. He hath delivered my soul in peace from the battle that was against me, for there were many with me. God shall hear and afflict them, even he that abideth of old, Selah, because they have no changes, therefore they fear not God. He hath put forth his hands against such as be at peace with him. He hath broken his covenant. The words of his mouth were smoother than butter, but war was in his heart. His words were softer than oil, yet they were drawn swords. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. But thou, O God, shalt bring them down into the pit of destruction. Bloody and deceitful men shall not live out half their days, but I will trust in thee. Amen. We know the Lord himself will add his blessing on to the reading of his word in our hearing tonight. And the verse that we're looking at is the final one, well, second last in the chapter, and that is the 22nd verse of Psalm 55. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. Last evening, we took God's promise box. We weren't able to throw these up on screen, so that might have been seen by you. It may not, when we did a little bit of a throw through and a quick review at a time. But we had God's promise box number one last night, and it was the promise in the rainbow. And we were therefore in Genesis chapter 9 for that. God's promise box number 2 tonight, because we're going to look at God's promises, God willing, throughout this week. And so number 2 tonight, and it is the promise for the burdened. That's why we've turned to the 55th Psalm and the 22nd verse, because it's there that we find one of those promises in the book that are for the burdened. And you'll see right at the beginning here that the whole chapter, there's a cloud that is forming over this chapter. The psalmist is in difficult times, and there is no doubt that we can say with him, there is reality to the burdens that we bear. It's a real thing that we as the children of God and the world as well are compelled to carry burdens today. sorrow and trouble come to the child of God knocking on our door every bit as much as they come to the door of the unconverted as well. There's an old Spanish proverb that puts it like this: there is no home anywhere which sooner or later does not have its hush. And so the silence, whenever pain comes in and sounds cannot be uttered, that kind of situation, it comes to us all. Now, I'm not minimizing some people's burdens, because well do I recognize that some people have heavier burdens than others to carry. Some, every turn on the road, they find more frustration waiting for them around the bend. Other people carry hidden burdens, not just heavy, but hidden burdens. And because there's a smile on their face, does not mean there is no pain in their heart. Often the deepest, the most poignant burdens carried by men and women are those that are not seen. And you wouldn't imagine it by looking at their faces, and by what limited knowledge you might have of their circumstances, you could conclude, hey, there's a person, they're just going through life like a breeze. They haven't a care in the world. Things are just falling into place. It's a jigsaw virtually doing itself in front of their eyes in their lives. And yet that is not the case, because those people may well be carrying the heaviest of burdens, but those burdens are hidden. Psalm 34 and 19 reminds us it's shared right across the tracks with the unsaved and also with the converted. And we're told in that verse, many are the afflictions of the righteous. Not just the unrighteous have their backs against the wall, but the righteous as well. And here in Psalm 55, we have, as mentioned, the writer of the psalm, and he is an incredibly burdened man. He's living life under a weight. And maybe if you look at one verse and one word in that one verse, it'll give the whole tenor of where he is. Verse 5, fearfulness and trembling are come upon me, and horror hath overwhelmed me. Well, you could have a choice of four words there when you take fearfulness, trembling, horror. But the term that we're thinking about is overwhelmed. Such is the pressure that the psalmist is under, that he feels, I am sinking underneath the weight, and things have really got, as we would say, got on top of me. He is overwhelmed. So first of all, we have therefore the reality of our burdens. But then secondly, we come to the identity of our burdens, the identity of our burdens. If I were to ask the question, which I am going to ask, what kind of burdens do people carry? I'm sure if you had 5 minutes to make up a list, there would be a whole variety of entries in our various lists that we could hand in at the end of 5 minutes. What kind of burdens do people carry? The identity of our burdens. Well, really, they are too many to be counted. We sang tonight as we're opening hymn, Count Your Blessings. And this is what we're really doing now, Count Your Burdens. And there could well be as many burdens as there would be blessings. I'm sure the Lord matches our blessings, of course, to our burdens. But the burdens, they are pretty multitudinous as well. Maybe burdens that do with the home. I know we sing home sweet home and all of that, but sometimes home is not at all that sweet, because you can have poverty coming in, you can have sickness battering down the door and impressing itself in every part of that home, you can have sorrow coming when bereavement comes along and someone dies within the family, you can have all kinds of things that arise as burdens in the home, an erring child, whatever, the list goes on. Burdens to do with the home. Some people carry burdens to do with business responsibilities. And we hear a little bit, I suppose we'll hear even more, when one lockdown follows another and smaller businesses are going to the wall. I think I heard tonight, while sitting at tea, the announcement being made that some of these businesses will not ever be able to open again. And we know some big ones have closed, and there will be many small ones that will certainly be casualties. Think of the burdens those people are feeling at this moment in time. Burdens as well in connection with the Lord's work. We remember Paul, who in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 28, he said, "And all the other things that are upon me that I have to see to, it's all in my slate here," and he termed it the care of all the churches. There are burdens in connection with the Lord's work, and anyone who fulfills a function in God's house will recognize there are burdens peculiar to that particular responsibility. Burdens as well to do with our friends. And we'll just stop there for a moment or two, and we'll read that into the psalm here. In verse 12 through 14, this psalmist had a burden because of relationships with his friends. Verse 12, "For it was not an enemy that reproached me, then I could have borne it. Neither was it he that hated me, that did magnify himself against me. Then I would have hid myself from him, but it was thou, a man mine equal, my guide and mine acquaintance. We took sweet counsel together and walked unto the house of God in company." And here for the psalmist, here was some man who had stood shoulder to shoulder with him, who had been in intimate contact, who had been a burden bearer for him in the past. But now he is one who has foisted this heavy burden upon the psalmist, a burden to do with his friends. Physical burdens. You remember again the apostle, and he had a thorn in the flesh, and he was pleading with God, "Remove this thorn in the flesh." 2 Corinthians 12 and the verse 7. And many have physical burdens to contend with. Burdens as well connected with losses in our life or bereavement, and what heavy burdens they are. John chapter 11, the death of Lazarus, and the pain that came into that home as a result, no surprise, that's what happens. John 11 and the verse 19. Sometimes we have the burden of disappointment. We're really built up towards something, and we feel it's going to happen, and it's going to happen as we planned it, and look at all the resources that we have pushed into the project, and then the bottom falls out, and that project is no more. The burden of disappointment. And there'll be some people today, and no doubt children facing this changeover exam from the small school to the big school, and then the rug just pulled out. And deal with the consequences. Work your way through the rubble. It's not our problem, it's yours. The burden of disappointment. And then the heaviest burden of all. And we could mention burden after burden after burden tonight, but we'll stop on this one. The burden of sin. Asked Christian in the Pilgrim's Progress, before he got to the cross, that huge burden weighing down upon his back. And it was only when he saw the light and he got through the wicket gate and he got to Calvary by the help of the evangelist that he found his burden rolled away. And so we sing in our chorus, "Rolled away, rolled away, and the burden of my heart rolled away." But that burden of unforgiven sin, what a burden it is. The reality of our burden, the identity of our burdens as well, but then thirdly, the activity with our burdens. The activity with our burdens. We have the burdens, their reality, we can identify them, this is what they are, what they're doing to us, but what do we do with them? How do we deal with these burdens? In the psalm itself, and that's why we're coming to Psalm 55 tonight, we have a number of pointers as to how to deal with the burdens that come our way. And first of all, we have some negative things that we shouldn't do. in our activity with the burdens. And if you go back to verse 1 within the Psalm 55 here, you'll find what we're being told is simply this: do not doubt God. Give ear to my prayer, O God, and hide not thyself from my supplication. Here is a man under a heavy burden, and he finds there's an outlet. There's a vent. There's a place that I must go to. Something that I need. Give ear to my prayer, O God, and hide not thyself from my supplication. Take it to the Lord, as this psalmist did. Do not doubt God. Then if you look at verse 2, do not murmur, attend unto me and hear me. I mourn in my complaint and make a noise. And that term make a noise is to moan noisily. And so there's such a din that is going on. He is raising a stir here. He's completely overwhelmed, as he later says, and he's now expressing that feeling by mourning in his complaint and making noise. But let's not do what the children of Israel did in the desert and turn on the Lord and begin to murmur and moan and complain. Another thing that we shouldn't do is do not despair. Verse 4 through 5, my heart is sore pained within me, and the terrors of death are fallen upon me. Fearfulness and trembling are come over me, and horror hath overwhelmed me. But do not fall down that black hole from which there is no coming back. Do not despair. No matter how far down you go, keep coming back to verse 1. Give ear to my prayer. Lord, I'm sinking further. Give ear to my prayer. Hide not thyself from my supplication. Don't doubt God. Don't murmur. Don't despair. And do not run. Because running away from a problem, as you will well know, it does not solve it. You're carrying your burden with you, and as far away from God as you're running, you're taking your burden away from its solution rather than to its solution. Verse 6 and verse 7, and I said, oh, that I had wings like a dove, for then would I fly away and be at rest. Lo, then would I wander far off and remain in the wilderness. Well, that's exactly what you would do. You'd be in flying away, you would find yourself still in the middle of the wilderness. The problem would still be there. The burden you would have transported with you, no matter how far you may have flown, do not run. As in that direction, run to the Lord, of course, and do not become bitter. Verse 15. Let death seize upon them. He's talking about this familiar friend that he had who had turned against him. Let death seize upon them, and let them go down quick into hell, for wickedness is in their dwellings and among them. And here this psalmist, he has turned to this solution whereby he thinks, I've a right to feel aggrieved here. And there's bitterness beginning to build up within his heart. And so we've got the negative things. Don't be doubting God, murmuring, despairing, running, becoming bitter. Let's get to the positives. How should we deal with our burden? Well, we have it in verse 22, don't we? In our text tonight, cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. First of all, we act towards our burden with submission. With submission. The word burden, what does it mean? It literally means that which he hath given thee. You could even translate the word as gift. I'm sure there are many, many occasions in my life where I don't look upon a burden as a gift. If I, under the Christmas tree at Christmas, were to unpackage something and find it's just a big black slab labeled burden, I think we'd be playing pass the parcel and that would go to somebody else. I wouldn't want it. I don't look upon it as being a gift, but that actually is built into the meaning of the word here. That which he hath given thee. And I reckon Quite honestly, if I could get to the stage where I can look upon a burden as a trust from God, a testing ground to which He has taken me, then that would be the first step to the transformation of my trouble. God has allowed it. And He has allowed it for a reason. And that reason I must see in Romans 8 and 28, all things work together for good to them that love God. And I don't see the good in it right now, and I only feel the weight of it and the heaviness, and it's pressing down in my spirit, and I would love to be rid of it. But if God has given it, or God has allowed it, if that is the way it is, and it must be, we believe in a sovereign God who in providence is in charge of all things, then He has a good intention and a purifying purpose behind it. And the sooner I submit to His hand upon me, the better it's going to be for me. Not only submission, but there's propulsion here, because the wonderful word is, cast thy burden upon the Lord. Yes, we submit to it, but we lift it up and we cast, or we launch it, or we jettison that burden, because the term means to fling or to hurl. It's all about action. It's all about effort. Cast thy burden upon the Lord. Just like Daniel was cast into prison, into the den of lions. Just like Jonah was cast overboard into the sea. Just like John the Baptist was cast into prison. Just like the devil will be cast into the lake of fire. The same terminology, I am to cast my burden upon the Lord. Why would I do that? Because He's the great burden bearer. His gracious word to me. I read in the book, Matthew 11 is one example, verse 28 to 30, and we can rest in those words of assurance. And He wants us to learn. Here's the lesson He wants us to learn. You can't. I can. And how many times we are so slow to come to that ground where in submission to God we concede, Lord, I can't do this. I cannot cope with this. I can't carry it any further. But You can. And so you need to carry me. Cast your burden upon the Lord. There's submission here. There is propulsion here. And there is also renunciation. And by that I mean this. And you know what I'm going to say, because this is the really hard part. The hymn says, take your burden to the Lord and what? Leave it there. Is it easy to leave it? Do we go home again still feeling the weight of it? Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and He shall sustain thee. He assumes, once we have cast it upon Him, He assumes full responsibility for not only the burden, but for us. But for us as well. And He promises in our text here, He will sustain us, that is, He will hold us up. Did you say you're overwhelmed? Yes, He did. The Lord says, but I'm the one who will sustain you. You're going down. You seem to go down without trace. That's your thinking on this one. But the Lord is saying, I'm going to lift you up. I am going to lift you up. And how wonderful that is. And then again, in addition to that, in verse 22, He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and He shall sustain thee. He will never suffer the righteous to be moved. The promise for the burden. Let's live in this promise. Let's see it fleshed out and worked out in our lives. Let's pray tonight, Lord, make this word true in my circumstances. Let's bow in prayer.